Welcome to the realm of magic and mystery, classic horror and sci-fi. You are entering the House of the Unusual podcast with your hosts, Eddie and Chuck.
Welcome, everybody, to another week of House of the Unusual podcast, where we bring you the strange and the unusual all in one simple podcast that you guys can listen to. And I hope you are listening because, you know, the latest news and everything, we will bring it to you each and every week. Me and Chuck have decided to start doing the podcast on a 2-week basis. So it's going to be the second Thursday. Should I say it's going to come out twice a month? It's going to be, twice a month, Wednesday midnight into Thursday, which is Thursday morning. So it's going to be the second and the fourth Thursday of every month. What I wanted to bring up to your attention is the reason for the 3-week hiatus where I did not do a podcast at all is due to the fact that I've been getting ready for Chiller Theater. Now, if you guys are aware, Chiller Theater is a convention that has been in the New Jersey area for over 30, almost 40 years now. And this time, Kevin, the one that does Chiller, asked me to have a table. He said to me, you should have been here for a long time, and I've always go as a visitor. This is actually my first convention ever. So I'm going to see what's out there, what waits for me. I'm not sure exactly, but one of the exciting things I'm going to have is, one, the Betts ball, or the ball that I have, is going to be in display at Chiller. The second thing is, there's several books that House of the Unusual has published in the last couple of months. I'm going to have copies there. They're going to be signed by Chuck and Sherry and myself, I guess, for those that want autographed copies. But we also ask people to just go to Amazon. And on Amazon, you will see the publications. If you look under Eddie Guevara or you look under Chuck Caputo, every publication we have published is out there. Now, we are giving a new twist to House of the Unusual, which is we've made about four children's books out there. One of the first books is The Great Monster Ghost Adventure, which in reality is my story with the 7-foot ghost. The second one is The Aspiring Magician, which of course Chuck is... It's actually called Chucky the Aspiring Magician, and it's kind of like Chuck's story. And the other one is the Bailarina one. That is Sherry's story. I do have another book that came out called Diana, and it's, I believe, Diana from Star to Helper, it's cool. And that book in particular is actually about my daughter, my youngest daughter that still lives with me. And I told her I was going to put together a little kid's book because she is a teacher, a guidance counselor. And, you know, I was hoping maybe she can bring it to school. But, guys, I wanted to tell you, I also have the other books, which, again, The Alien Ball from Space is going to be, I'm going to have quite a few copies at Chiller because, you know, I'm going to have the ball there, obviously. And a lot of people are going to ask questions about the ball. So I'm going to tell them, hey, it's all in this book, the whole research and everything behind it. Having said that, I wanted to also bring up you guys up to date with the fact that I'm looking into getting a TikTok shop. I want to distribute a lot of my products through there. Right now, I'm still waiting on TikTok to okay me. I guess there's a line of people waiting. It's kind of weird. I mean, I did it, and for some reason, I haven't been able to get on. I mean, I am on TikTok, but I haven't been able to get on as a seller. Other things that are happening is, as you guys know, William Shatner is going to be in this Chiller Theater, and they're also going to have a lot of new stars that I don't think have been there before, or they've been there, but maybe, I don't know, 20, 30 years ago. I don't remember if they've been there, but the point is that it's going to be fun. And anybody who, you know, would like to pass by and meet with me, it would be beautiful. I like to meet the people that actually listen to me. We can talk. I have a lot of great products on the table. I'm going to bring, you know, the brand new, which actually, if you go on eBay, you'll see that I finally acquired my very own 7-foot monster robot plans. And I am going to have them. Now, this monster robot plans have been put together for me by a very, very famous individual. I can't really bring up his name, but he's been in the animation industry for many, many years. And I thought that it would be very interesting if you guys go out there. I mean, I'm going to have a couple of copies, but if not, go on to eBay and you will be able to purchase it there. If anybody has young kids, especially for now, this coming Halloween, this will be the perfect costume that they can build. And, you know, I'm sure you're going to win prizes. So let's say that the school has the best costume and stuff. I guarantee you that anybody who builds this will probably win the prize. So again, if anybody out there is interested, you can get it now on eBay, or you can meet me there in person in the show and you can actually purchase a copy. Other than that, I wanted to also tell you that one of the greatest things about, you know, monster collecting and stuff like that is when you're able to decorate your room or your house, if your wife lets you, or if you just live alone, and have a display of all your collectibles. And my brother has actually met two individuals that I have the connection for, and I'm going to interview them in the next week, or, you know, for the next podcast, I'm going to interview one of the guys. And now this guy, he makes my collection look like, I don't know what to say, but he's got a massive collection of Aurora monsters. Everything from Frankenstein to, I mean, it's a massive collection, but the differences between him and me is that he's got everything in display. They're in display cases, you know, he's got me. I have a lot of stuff, but I think I try to display a lot of my stuff. But it's just impossible. Like, I literally have to get myself a storefront, or, I mean, it's got to be at least 40, 50 feet deep by 40 feet wide, because it's just so much stuff. And I'm trying to, and tomorrow I'm actually going to head out to one of the units, and I'm going to try to make space within the unit so that I can probably start doing some YouTube videos from there, and, you know, some unboxings and to do fun stuff. But like I said, I've been so busy for the last 4 or 5 months, actually since October, but so busy. One, Sherry and Chuck have been helping me put a couple of books out on Amazon, which that alone takes, you know, a week, 2-3 weeks just to design the book, lay it out, get all the information in, edit. And, you know, then you put it on there, and it's great, but it takes a lot of time. And it's actually cut a lot into my organizing of the storage, which actually I took a little bit of a break, because last month I was actually there, oh gosh, I guess like 4 days straight. I took some days off work, and I was doing 8, 9, 10 hour days just to empty one unit into another, and it was side by side. So all I could say is it's incredible the amount of stuff I have. A lot of the stuff that I have that makes the collection unique is, like, say, for example, when I owned the Fun Factory back in 1989, actually 1990, 91, 92, around there, we ran an ad, me and Lou Weiss, the original owner of the Fun Factory, in DC Comics. Again, if you see any 1993 comic book, and when I'm saying 93, it's actually 92 going into 93, and it's usually the January issue for 93 that goes on sale, and it went on sale in December. So a lot of them have Christmas themes on the cover, so you'll know what I'm talking about. In there, you'll find a full page for the Fun Factory. That was my ad, and again, it was the last ad that any company ran in any type of comic book that dealt with novelties. After that, what happened is that when the ad came out and everything, you know, I was really excited. I went on to move on to change the name as time went on to House of the Unusual. I had owned an original company store back in West New York in 89, and the store was called P&E House of the Unusual. I had a partner called Patrick. So it was P&E, House of the Unusual, or House of Unusual. And then when the Fun Factory, me and Lou Weiss joined forces, we turned it to the Fun Factory. And then later it became House of the Unusual because so many people kept saying House of the Unusual when I said House of Unusual. So, you know, I just got fed up. And I'm like, you know what? I'm just going to change it and trademark the name, which I did, House of the Unusual. Now, going forward, I really would like to see if there's a possibility of taking TikTok, Instagram, and somehow making a live broadcast from my units where I'm able to open. And when I'm saying live broadcast, is on June 22nd of this year, eBay, I think, is going to do release the first live auctions. Now, there's some people that are doing it right now. They're testers. They're not giving everybody access to do this. Yet for me, I have not gotten access, which I was kind of surprised because I've been on eBay since 1998. So actually, yeah, 98 or so. I really thought that I was going to, you know, get first priority with everybody else, but not yet. I'm still waiting. But June 22nd is where I think eBay actually launches it for everybody. Right now, the only things that are available are collectibles and I believe vintage cards like sports memorabilia and stuff. But what it is that you're allowed to actually go live. Your auctions run across the bottom, which is good, you know. And then what you do with that is, you know, whatever. I can show the products. I can talk to people. But what I'm going to experiment with is that if I transmit using StreamYard, which is an application for both, you know, laptops and iPads. If you use StreamYard, you're allowed to transmit through five or six right now, different things. Like, for example, I can go live on YouTube, Facebook. I can go live on Instagram, X, which used to be Twitter, and eBay all at one time, which will be great because this way, you know, there's a bigger audience across the board. Now, the thing with TikTok, though, is if I do go into the TikTok shop, is that it's kind of scary because when you sell on TikTok, okay, you are given, as an individual, you can do 100 products per day. As a business or some type of, you know, registered business corporation, you're allowed to do 200. The only problem is that TikTok can go viral pretty quick. So say, for example, you have 100 products, okay? So today is day one. TikTok sells out, boom, okay, everything sells out. You know, you won't sell anymore for the same day. But the next morning, everything resets itself, and it keeps resetting each and every day. The problem is you only have 3 days to fulfill your orders and send them out to the customers. And now that's a big problem because it would take literally a couple of hours just to, when I'm saying a couple, the last time I put over 100 orders in one day, which I did in Fun Factory, when, as I was saying, that one of the unique things about my collection and thing with Fun Factory that I mentioned is that I actually still have all the orders we received, me and Lou Wise from Fun Factory. I have about 3 or 4 shoe boxes with a couple of thousand orders in it and in the original envelope and stuff. So that's what I'm saying. My collection has a paper trail as well as everything else. So the situation is that you're given 3 days by TikTok in where you need to ship the product. Otherwise, I'm not sure what they do. If they, you know, shut down your store, I don't know what the penalties are, but it's kind of scary. So the point is that you need to get a product. Either one, I'm going to probably showcase the books I sell on Amazon. This way, it's Amazon who has to fulfill the orders, not me. And or I'm going to need to have something that, you know, I can send out 100 orders a day and have them prepackaged and, you know, whatever it is. But it's a lot of work, you know. And I have to be very careful how I trod on any type of ground because going too quickly can actually be devastating. Yeah, it could be a good thing, yeah, because you grow, but at the same time, it could put you out of business as quick as it could give you a lot of business. So having said that, guys, thank you. Chuck and Sherry, it's your turn. Take care, guys.
Okay, Eddie, thanks a lot. I appreciate it. Sherry, we have a really interesting podcast today.
Oh, we do?
Yes, we do. First of all, thanks to all the listening audience out there that's been making our podcast such a great success.
Yes, thanks to all of you.
Yeah, we appreciate it. This is about none other than something that's been close to my heart for years, the Titanic.
Ooh.
And we're going somewhere next week, Sherry. Where's that?
Yes, we are actually going to the Titanic exhibition here in Pittsburgh at the Carnegie Science Center downtown. We're really excited about this. We had our tickets a while ago. But what are they going to show? They're going to have...
Yeah, they're going to have actual, some of the artifacts. Mm-hmm. They recreated the rooms, what they looked like and so forth. It's going to be very, very interesting. And I can't wait. And it's here until mid-April, which we'll get into that date, why they picked that date a little bit later on.
Okay.
But here we go. The Titanic sank on April 15th. 1912.
There you go.
And it's only here till like April 15th.
And that's what? Tax day.
That's tax day, yeah.
705 lived and 1,500 perished. They said that it wasn't even full capacity on a Titanic. And it's like 12,600 feet underwater out somewhere in the North Atlantic. And down there, it's very cold, maybe like 2 degrees Celsius.
Yeah, that's very cold. They said that if you know that the survivors, if you were in the water, you would freeze to death. You'd get hypothermia.
Oh, I can only imagine.
So that would happen very quick. Okay, a couple people who were scheduled to ride the Titanic was Milton Hershey, and he's of the Hershey Park fame, which is not far from us.
No, about what, 4 hours?
About four hours away.
Pittsburgh.
And we haven't visited, but would like to check that out someday.
Definitely. I love the chocolate.
and he also found a boy's home. So he's a very helpful, very helpful guy. He changed his plans at the last minute, as well as what I looked up. J.P. Morgan was also scheduled to be on the Titanic, but he changed his plans, I guess, due to a series of business meetings or something.
Right.
So I guess Milton had a Hershey bar and skipped it, huh?
Yeah, definitely. Okay. The ship was just under 900 feet long. That's, I don't know, a football field is about, what, 360 feet long?
Yeah.
So that's trying to put it in perspective how massive this vessel was.
Not quite 3 football fields, but pretty, I mean, if you go on a football field, that's pretty long. I mean, we used to jog at the track at different high schools.
Uh-huh.
And a football field is pretty long. Now, from my understanding, the modern-day cruise ships actually dwarf the Titanic.
Wow. So that's amazing.
Yeah, that'll give you an idea of how big this thing really was.
Mm-hmm.
The ship was constructed in Belfast, Ireland.
Isn't that amazing?
For just over $7 million.
Ooh.
Now, from my understanding, the issue was they had faulty rivets.
Oh.
Yeah, they weren't burned, they weren't...
were they not the correct size?
I think the integrity wasn't very good. Like, they weren't burned in the proper fire for as long as they should have, and maybe the actual components that they put in there weren't quite up to snuff.
Oh,
and each rivet was huge. I mean, you'd have to hold the rivet in two hands to put it in place. Well, they knocked it in place with a sledgehammer. So just to give you an idea how big it was.
And they said there was 20 horses that were needed to transport the main anchor.
Wow.
That's massive.
That is just unbelievable.
Yeah.
All right. And it did not have enough lifeboats, which, you know, we all seen the movie. And
unfortunately.
So they were supposed to have 64 lifeboats, but only had 20.
And why was that?
I think because the aesthetic appeal, they just felt it looked better. I mean, with a boat that size, you could have had 164 lifeboats.
Sure. That was huge.
I just don't get it.
It said also Titanic has two sister ships, the Olympic and Britannic.
Yes.
I don't know much about them.
No, I'm not real familiar with them as well, but I know that all the ships were made by the White Star Corporation, if I'm not mistaken.
Hmm.
All right, here's an interesting fact, which I'm sure we've all heard this at some point, and we've seen it in the movie. The band did indeed play while the ship sank. They helped cheer the people up.
Aww.
I mean, that's some brave, brave people there. I mean, I don't know. These bands nowadays, if they get a whiff of a match burning, they'd probably run out of the building.
Uh-huh. What was that song they played?
Yeah, the last song they played was Nearer My God to Thee.
Aww.
Wow.
And then Ida and Isidore Strauss, they were among the drowned passengers. They were the owners of Macy's. Now, the husband, he refused to get on a lifeboat when he had heard that there were women and children on board.
Very brave.
Yes, indeed.
Wow, very, very, very commendable, you know. And I mean, there were some people I read that dressed up as a woman just to get in the, just to get into the lifeboats.
Yeah, he didn't want to do it.
Yeah, that's very, very, very upstanding.
Mm-hmm.
The wreck wasn't found until 1985.
Is that right? Wow.
Yeah so that's quite a bit later. You know, they just did not know where this thing was.
Wow. How'd they find it?
You know, that's a good question. I don't know, but they did finally locate it in the North Atlantic.
Hmm. Now, John Jacob Astor, he was one of the Titanic's richest men on board. Did he pass away?
Oh yeah, okay. He also died on there. I believe his family owned the different hotels, you know, like the Astoria in New York City and so forth.
I see.
Yeah, a pretty amazing guy. Okay, the Guggenheims, they were a wealthy industrialist. Benjamin Guggenheim was a passenger, and he also perished. I mean, he was held as a hero. I mean, he would help passengers onto the boats. Him and another friend of his was noted sitting in chairs, drinking brandy, and smoking a cigar.
As the Titanic sank.
Yeah, what a way to go, huh?
Wow, what gentleman, huh, to let the others get on the boats.
Yes.
Excuse me. Now, Titanic was published as unsinkable, which made several people uncomfortable. Sometimes it's best not to claim that you're maybe unsinkable or that you're not going to die.
Like an airplane can't explode or crash. I don't know. I'd be afraid to get on something like that.
Because remember you said about Dick Cavett, there was a guest on there?
Yeah, this is pretty interesting. We're going to get off topic for just a moment.
Just a minute.
But if you Google this, now you can't find the video anymore. Now, I saw the video about 15 years ago on YouTube. They had since taken it off. I guess back in the early 70s, the Dick Cavett Show, which was a popular talk show back, you know, like back when we were younger, Sherry.
Right. Mm-hmm.
One of his guests was a health food fanatic, I believe, and he just said, "Dick, I'm not going to die. I just refuse to die." I mean, I actually saw this.
Wow.
So when his time was up, he moved over, and they had a next guest on after the commercial break. This guy died.
Died right there on stage.
Right there.
Amazing.
I mean, yeah, he made a funny gurgling noise, and it turned out to be his death rattle. So,
oh, my goodness.
I don't know. I'm just afraid to talk too much crap.
It's better just to be humble about it.
Yeah. All right, here's what we've been getting to.
Okay.
There was a novel about it was a fictitious boat. It was written in 1898 called The Titan. This was written by Morgan Robertson.
Hmm.
It had very, very similar things that are in correlation to the Titanic. Okay, the Titan in the book was listed at 882 feet long. The Titanic was slightly over 800 feet. All right, the Titanic traveled at 21 knots. The Titan traveled at 25 knots. And they were both considered to be, of course,
unsinkable.
Unsinkable.
Now, the Titan hits an iceberg in the North Atlantic and sinks.
I mean, that's just mind-blowing.
And that's the Titan in the book.
You're right.
And that's the same as what happened to the Titanic.
Unbelievable.
That's uncanny.
And there are more similarities. So you know what? Search this, guys. Go on it and Google this. Okay, after the Titanic sinking, Robertson, who was the author of The Titan, was labeled a clairvoyant.
Mm-mm.
He said he was simply knowledgeable about maritime operations of that time. And he stated, "I know what I'm talking about." So check this
interesting
book. Let me get the name of this, Sherry. Let me see if I can find this. Oh, The Wreck of the Titan.
Oh.
In 1898.
That's
all right. So you know what? When we go to the exhibit, I think we're going to do a brief video.
It'll be very nice.
It should be on your YouTube channel, Sherry. We'll have a lot of fun with it. We're going with a few, our son and his fiancee.
They're getting married soon.
Yeah, so that's kind of cool.
Hey, so excited.
Thanks for stopping by, guys and girls. We certainly appreciate it. And have fun. Stay safe. We'll see you next time.
God bless.
Bye-bye.